Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, and can be found on page 693. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Our second reading is taken from 1 Peter, verses 1 to 12, and can be found on page 1217. One Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 12, on page 1217. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that we have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That's great. Andy, thank you for reading for us. And please keep 1 Peter chapter 1 open in front of you, page 1217. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer before we look at it now. Lord God, may your word be a lamp for our feet and a light to our path now. In Jesus' name, amen. Where is God when it hurts? A lot of people ask that question. Perhaps you've asked that question yourself in the past. It might be that one or two of us here this morning are asking it right now. Where is God when it hurts? If God is all-powerful and he's good, then why do we suffer? If God is all-powerful, surely he could stop it. And if God is all-good, surely he doesn't want us to suffer. So where is God when it hurts? It's a question that people often ask when they're exploring Christianity. What about suffering? But it's also a question that Christians ask. And in fact, it can almost be more painful a question for Christians. I thought God loved me, the Christian says. I thought he'd forgiven me. I thought he'd brought me into his family. So why am I suffering like this? Perhaps you've asked questions like these in the past. Perhaps you're asking them at the moment. If that's you, then I'm very sorry that you're in pain. And I hope that you feel able to open up to one or two people even today about what's going on. It's one of the blessings of being part of a church family. We can help each other and support each other during difficult times. I'm also glad that you're here, because we can bring that question to the Apostle Peter this morning. We're about to start going through this great letter of 1 Peter. We're going to be looking at it over the next couple of months. And 1 Peter says a great deal about suffering in the Christian life. But Peter says that God has done something for us that completely changes the way that we can look at it. So let's begin this famous letter now. Peter introduces himself right at the start. And whether you're a believer or not this morning, I hope you find Peter's words intriguing and valuable. And Peter starts by saying that believers are chosen by God. He says believers are chosen by God. Let's look at the first couple of verses of 1 Peter. You see there at the very beginning, in verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So Peter is one of the 12 apostles, plus one or two others like Paul. And they had seen the risen Jesus, and Jesus had sent them out to preach the gospel and to lay the foundation for the church. So Peter writes with real authority. And verse 1, Peter is writing to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout all of these various places that are difficult to read. And so Peter is writing to God's elect, God's chosen people, Christians. And yet God's people are strangers in the world. Our faith in Jesus makes us seem strange to people. We don't quite fit in because of our faith. Maybe you've experienced that in the past. And Peter is writing to lots of believers over a wide area. Let me show you a map. Can you see the red dots there? That's Jerusalem on the right, where Jesus died and rose. And that's Rome on the left, where Peter is writing from. We learn that at the very end of the letter. And here is where Peter is writing to. That's modern-day Turkey. And he's writing to Christians, God's chosen people. And these Christians, verse 2, have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. So the Father foreknew and loved us. The Spirit has set us apart and made us holy. And as we obey the gospel, we come to Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, and we're completely forgiven through his blood shed on the cross. It's a completely new life. We've been chosen by God. My family and I went to a wedding of some friends of ours a couple of weeks ago back in our old church in Cambridge, and our friends Helen and Rob very much made it their own kind of service, and they had some Christian hip-hop playing during the service, and they had a big chocolate cake, their wedding cake, which they cut during the service. It was very much their own thing. But at the heart of it, there was Helen, chosen by Rob, and there was Rob, chosen by Helen, ready for a whole new life together. And that's what it's like to be a Christian. We're chosen by God, ready for a whole new life with him. And what Peter does now is he bursts into praise, and he gives us three reasons for why we should praise God. And I want us to just look at them in turn now. So here's the first reason. Peter says, praise the Father. He's given us a perfect inheritance. And we're looking now at verses 3 and 5. Let me read verse 3. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Last Sunday, of course, was Easter Sunday. We celebrated Jesus rising from the dead. And the wonderful truth is that if anyone turns to him and trusts in him, they will rise from the dead in the future. And this means that God has given us an eternal future to look forward to. Verse 4, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So in the Old Testament, the inheritance was the promised land of Israel. But you know, that was only ever just a picture. And the real inheritance is an entire new creation to come. And Peter says it won't ever perish, it won't ever end. He says it can't spoil, it won't ever go wrong or be spoiled by sin. He says it can't fade. This new creation will be endlessly beautiful and exciting and delightful, and it's kept in heaven for us. All the strength of God is keeping it ready for us. And so we're to praise God for this perfect inheritance. And how will we get there? Well, verse 5, we through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. God will shield us all the way. He's promised us this wonderful inheritance, and he will shield us every step of the way until we get there. He'll protect us by faith. So that means, yes, that we need to keep believing. But wonderfully, it also means that he will keep us believing. We're to praise God for his perfect inheritance. Now imagine one day you get a knock on your front door and you open the door and it's a group of men standing there in quite expensive looking suits, and they have good news because it turns out that you're a distant relative of Elon Musk, the richest man in the whole world. Here's a picture of him. And Elon Musk has made you his only heir. He has a fortune of £212 billion. And the men tell you that actually Elon Musk is very unwell and he doesn't have long to live. And Elon wants to make sure that you receive your inheritance. And the men point behind them to the road where there is a large armored car parked there, ready to take you safely to the enormous bank vault in London, which is filled with billions and billions of pounds for you. You've been given an incredible inheritance, and you will be guarded all the way until you get there. Well, that is the situation that Christians are in. God has promised us an eternal inheritance, and he will guard us all the way until we get it. And Peter says, praise God for his perfect inheritance. Praise God. It might be that you're worried at the moment about money as the cost of living increases. Gas prices are going up, food prices are going up. And it might be that you're somebody who worries about the future. Well, if you're not a believer here today, can you see what Jesus offers? Jesus offers an eternal inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. It's the answer to all of our anxieties, all of our worries. Do you come to Jesus for the forgiveness and the eternal security that he offers? And if you're here today and you've already done that, then do keep waiting. It won't be long, and we'll enter our perfect inheritance. Praise the Father, Peter says. He's given us a perfect inheritance. Here's the second reason to praise him. Peter says God will give us help through suffering. And we're looking at verses 6 to 9. Peter knows that the Christian life will not be plain sailing. There will be suffering, but we can praise God for help through suffering. Just look at verse 6. Peter says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now Peter knows what he's talking about. Peter was locked up for his faith. Peter would eventually be crucified for his faith. And he knows that Christians will suffer all kinds of trials. Today, it's often very hard for Christians overseas. If you're a Christian elsewhere in the world, you can get kicked out of your family, you can lose your job, you can find that your children don't get into school. But Christians here can sometimes suffer for their faith as well. Sometimes people will think that we're weird or that we're cruel for the things that we believe. But of course, Peter also has in mind all kinds of suffering. Suffering that's nothing to do with our faith. Suffering like depression, or losing our hearing, or getting cancer. In our home group last Wednesday, we prayed for two of our group members who've just had a close bereavement last weekend. Peter knows that we'll suffer. But Peter says we can praise God because he will help us through our suffering. Just look at verse 7. He says, these trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Fire purifies gold and gets rid of all the impurity. And in the same way, the fire of suffering purifies our faith. Suffering strengthens our trust in Jesus. It makes us long all the more for that new creation that's coming. God will help us through suffering, and so our faith proves genuine, and the result will be praise. Praise for us, and praise for the God who has helped us. And verse 8, though you haven't seen him, you love him. And even though you don't now see him, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so, yes, we will suffer in this life, but God will keep us going. He'll keep us believing in Jesus. He'll keep us loving him. And so Peter says, praise the Father for his help through suffering. About 18 months ago, a friend of mine called Mark died unexpectedly. He died quite early. He was only in his late 50s, I think. And he was a friend from our previous church. Some of you met him. He was one of the guys who helped sort out our garden when we first moved here. And about 10 months after he died, his widow Paula came and stayed with us overnight. And I remember talking with her in our front room, in our house, talking with her about her bereavement. And Paula said this. She said, "I always thought that when something terrible happened, I would either run to God or away from him. But in the event, neither happened. I simply felt wrapped in his arms." And she spoke of how her quiet times, reading the Bible and praying, had been the most vivid and encouraging that she'd ever known. Now, that's the testimony of one believer that I know. But I take it that if you're a Christian, you'll be able to look back over your life so far, and you'll be able to see how God has already brought you through trials, how he's already been purifying your faith, already keeping you believing. And Peter says, praise him for that. Perhaps you feel afraid of worse suffering in the future. I do at times. Well, Peter would say, don't be afraid. God will help you through that suffering. Even if it's very hard, he'll shield us all the way. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're already in the armored car on the way to the inheritance. And we're to praise the Father for his help through suffering. Here's the third reason to praise him. Peter says, the gospel is ours. And we're looking at the last few verses, 10 to 12. Have a look with me at verses 10 and 11. Peter says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The prophets spoke in advance about Christ and his sufferings. And they wished they knew when it was all going to happen. We heard earlier from Isaiah, didn't we? Those famous words, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then famously later in his book, Isaiah says the same person would be pierced for our transgressions. And we can imagine Isaiah typing and closing his laptop and putting his hand on his forehead and thinking, when is this going to happen? Well, verse 12, it was revealed to the prophets that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Isaiah and the prophets were serving us. You and I have the tremendous privilege of living this side of Jesus' death and resurrection. We know it all. We know the Messiah's name. We know where he lived. We know how it all happened. We know forgiveness. We know the goodness of Jesus' rule. We know the help of the Spirit. We know this wonderful future hope that God is giving us. It's amazing. In fact, end of verse 12, even angels long to look into these things. Isn't that an incredible verse? Even angels look on, longing to know more of what we know. Angels will never know the gospel as deeply as us. They'll never know Jesus as their Savior. They'll never know God as their Father. And they look at us and they think, imagine being one who Jesus died for. You and I have an incredible privilege. The prophets long to see what we see. The angels long to know what we know. Peter says, praise the Father. The gospel is ours. Back in 2019, it was a graduation day for a college in Atlanta, in America. It's called Morehouse College. It's a college for young black men. And they'd invited a speaker for this special day. They'd invited a man called Robert F. Smith. He was a very successful businessman. And so there he was. He was speaking to these 400 students. He'd worked very hard and got to the point of graduating from college. And then right at the end of his speech, to everyone's surprise, he made an amazing announcement. I've watched the video of this. It's brilliant. He said he was going to pay the student debt for every one of those 400 students. And when you watch the video, it's great fun because there's kind of a pause and everyone's just a little bit stunned. And then they just go nuts. They have this amazing pledge that he's made. It turns out it amounted to about $34 million. He's just announced, I'm going to clear all of your debts. It's an incredible moment. And here's the point. It didn't happen to the students the previous year, and it didn't happen to the students the next year. It happened to them. This incredible, incredible privilege that happened to them. And Peter wants us to see that something even better has happened to us. Here's a picture of him on the day, giving this amazing gift. And Peter wants us to know God has given us an even more amazing gift. The gospel is ours. The prophets longed to know when that would come. The angels longed to know more of it. But praise the Father, the gospel is ours. And if you don't yet know the treasure of the gospel yourself, do keep coming back. Do keep finding out more. Why not come to Hope Explored today? Just come to the first one. See if it's something you'd like to come back to. Come and find out more about this hope that God offers. And if you do know the gospel, then keep trusting your Father. We may ask at times, where is God when it hurts? And the answer is, he's right with us. Keep praising him. He'll keep you believing. He'll bring you safely home. Let's pray to him now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for keeping your promises through the prophets. Thank you for sending that great Messiah. Thank you that he died to pay for our sins. Thank you for the wonderful future inheritance that you've laid up for us. And we know that life is painful at times, and we ask for your help to keep believing ye, to keep trusting ye, and we pray that you would shield us all the way until we receive that wonderful inheritance that cannot perish or spoil or fade. And we praise you for these things. Amen.